Hey, it's Zach here, and super quick before we dive into the show. If you haven't already, I want to make sure that you have subscribed to my free weekly Case of the Mondays newsletter, because it is where I share my best advice, strategies, and mindsets to help you design a creative career that you absolutely love showing up for every Monday morning. When you sign up, I'll even send you a bonus 5-day email course to help you clarify and prioritize the next small steps in your unique path to success. To sign up, just visit optimizeyourself.me/newsletter. All right, on to today's episode. My name is Zach Arnold, and I'm a former Hollywood film and television editor turned career strategist and the creator of Optimize Yourself, where I help artists, creatives, and storytellers just like you design the more balanced, more sustainable, and more fulfilling creative career that you deserve. In a nutshell, I'm Tim Ferriss meets Ted Lasso, minus the mustache, because I am obsessed with both learning everything I can about optimizing human potential while also inspiring you to realize yours. If you are ready to step outside your comfort zone, let's dive right in and unlock the optimized version of you. Hello, and welcome to the Optimize Yourself podcast, where I share honest and candid conversations with best-selling authors, world-class athletes, Hollywood legends, elite experts in a variety of fields, as well as everyday people that are achieving extraordinary things. It means the world to me that with all the podcast choices out there, you have chosen to invest your valuable time, energy, and attention with me. Now, before we get started, don't forget to visit optimizeyourself.me/podcast so you can subscribe, leave a review, and so you can also download your unique customized podcast playlist, where I'm going to send you the 5 best expert interviews from our archives to help you achieve your specific goals. So on that note, without further ado, let's get right to today's guest. Hello, and welcome to Hot Seat Friday, where I give you an inside glimpse into the world of the Optimizer community. Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, I host office hours live via Zoom, where I conduct a series of one-on-one coaching sessions and I help a student workshop whatever challenge they're facing next. We cover topics such as networking and outreach, workshopping resumes and websites, preparing for job interviews, designing career paths, and a multitude of challenges beyond just career growth, including time management and productivity, building and optimizing creative workflows, mindset, burnout, and so much more. These bite-sized 25-minute sessions are jam-packed with practical and actionable strategies that you too can use right away to design the more rewarding, the more fulfilling, and the more sustainable creative career that you deserve. If after listening, you're interested in joining the Optimizer community and having the opportunity to sit on the hot seat yourself, and I promise it's not as scary as it sounds, visit optimizeyourself.me/optimizer to learn more. Again, that's optimizeyourself.me/optimizer. And speaking of outreach messages, I believe we're going to make a segue to yet another outreach message. Are we not, Mr. Mark Carr?
Yes, we are. Good morning. How's it going? Good.
Oh, I can't even begin to know how to answer that question for you right now. I'm happy to be on this call. That I can say confidently. Outside of that, I don't even know how to begin to answer the question, how are you? But I'm happy to be here and happy to be chatting right now. So give us a little bit of background, just very, very quickly for those that have not heard any previous hot seats with you, just kind of the 30-second elevator pitch of where you are in your journey, and then tell us what we're discussing on the hot seat.
All right. Well, basically, 30 seconds. I did a lot of work in news editing, news video editing. I am on my way to assistant editing for scripted narrative, interested in a lot of like high budget kind of fun action movies, Marvel, Star Wars, things like that. And basically, I'm sending messages to experts who have made a very similar journey that I have. So, and for this one specifically, this is something that I haven't done yet. Like, I followed the formula pretty well, and I sent an outreach message to someone with almost my exact background, someone who also worked in news media, who translated into a high-profile scripted narrative thing. The only problem is I sent them. I sent all the right replies at the right times, but I never got a reply, and I know exactly why, because this person specifically is very, very busy because they just became a parent when I sent that message, like 3 months into parenthood. So
that'll do it.
Did my homework. I was fairly confident in it, and I know, and I'm guessing they at least saw the messages. But again, at the time, a 3-month-old child, they don't have time for anything. I think that's honestly the bigger picture of it. So yeah, this is my first 6-month reply, because 3 to 6 month reply, because I have not done one of those yet. So
Okay, great. Well, I'm excited to talk about this one because it's one that we don't talk about quite as much. Yeah. Before we get into this specifically, though, working under the assumption that Sadiqa is still with us and listening, you're the perfect example of somebody that has followed the advice that I just gave her. And have you not gotten at least one, if not a multitude of enthusiastic responses where people said, oh my God, you and I need to get on a Zoom call? Has that not happened to you, if I recall, at least once?
Yeah, it's happened twice, actually. Like, I got to talk to somebody who worked on a bunch of Marvel stuff, like WandaVision, Captain America and the Winter Soldier, or no, Falcon and Winter, like a bunch of Marvel stuff, and I got on a Zoom call with them, like for an hour, and they gave me great advice, and they were genuinely surprised that I not only found them, but I knew a whole lot about them.
And they asked you for the call, correct?
That is correct, yes.
That's the key. That's the key. Mm-hmm. So you got a top assistant editor in the Marvel world that was so excited by your message that they said, oh my God, you and I need to talk. Let's get on Zoom.
Yep.
The formula works.
And it actually happened twice, not too long ago. Another person who worked on Marvel, who actually knew exactly what I was doing by sending that outreach, someone who also sent 80 outreaches, who also worked in the Marvel world, I got on a Zoom call with and had a really nice conversation with them as well. So,
awesome. Well, the point is, Sadiqa, the work is going to be worth it, I promise.
Mm-hmm. And to be fair, like, I've gotten responses. I haven't gotten Zoom call responses for all of them, but I've gotten like good advice on sound editing specifically. Like, there was somebody who worked on Better Call Saul, long story short, that did something really cool in terms of sound. And they gave me like great, very specific advice on mixing sound for a very specific thing. So yeah, not all of them are going to be like grand slams, but like good responses, that's the victory of it. So.
Got it. All right, great. So now let's dive into the nuances of how do we do this 6-month approach? The good news is that I almost never have to workshop this. The reason is that nobody ever gets to the point where they've got no responses and they have to come back after 6 months and restart it. But if you find out that this person is a recent parent, this does not surprise me in the least. So having said that, do you have a message in front of you, or are we just kind of starting from scratch and talking about the general approach?
I not only have a message in front of you, allow me to share it right there with you.
All right. So very, very briefly, before I have you read it, give me the 30-second or less pitch on who Alyssa Donovan Browning is.
So Alyssa Donovan Browning, like I mentioned, she worked at, she's an assistant editor. She worked at MSNBC working on new shows like The Rachel Maddow Show and a couple other things for about 10 years. She moved over to Los Angeles, got some luck with some assistant editing work for a pilot, and then eventually worked for Kevin Tent on The Holdovers as an apprentice editor. Like, she networked and I think went to Edit Fest and she was able to be an apprentice editor for them. So the reason I'm reaching out to them is that, again, they have almost my exact same background and they got to work on, you know, an Oscar nominated for editing movie that did like incredibly well critically. So they are without question my expert on how to transition from news to scripted. Like, that's absolutely how they're the expert. And very
gotcha. All right. So you've made it very, very clear that the empathy level is going to be high because this person was stuck in the exact same place that you are stuck right now.
Yeah.
Great. All right. So my assumption is that what we're looking at is the message that you're going to send. This is not what you sent 6 months ago, right?
This is correct. This is a brand new message.
Great. All right. So one of the things that I want to bring up before we even read this, because it's going to change the way we approach this, you've got two choices. Either you can send this fresh or you can send this attached to your original thread. Which one do you think makes more sense?
Make it fresh.
Why?
Definitely make it fresh. Yeah, it's just like, I would imagine if they saw it as a reply, it's just like, it feels very, it's kind of lazy for one, and two, it just like brings them fresh in their minds about who I am and just like a brand new conversation. So we tried to have that conversation. It didn't work for whatever reason. Let's start again, dude.
All right. So let me ask you this. If this was more than 6 months ago, you would have sent the series of messages before you were in this program, correct? Or were you already in the program?
I was in the program.
Okay, like, so you already, we were already workshopping outreach with you. I have no concept of time right now, so.
Oh, fair enough.
So do you feel that there was anything in the messages that you sent that was cringeworthy? Like, oh my God, I can't believe I said this. This was the dumbest question ever. Like, oh my God, I never want them to see that I sent these messages. Do you feel that way at all?
That's a good question. Let me go and look at the original message. I remember, like, basically, it was sort of a warm outreach. I had met them at a panel that they did for the holdovers, like, briefly.
Mm-hmm.
I regret a little bit of what happened after that. Like, I mentioned, like, congratulations, just being a parent. I said, it's kind of scary right now, but it'll feel like the best thing in your life. And they said it already is.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that the interaction after the panel was cringeworthy enough that they remember it?
Probably not.
Probably not. You remember it, but my guess is that they don't.
Yeah.
So having said that, do you feel that there's anything in your message threads that's cringeworthy?
Jeez. Yeah, I'm just looking through it. I mean, nothing really stands out too much. Like maybe the idea that I didn't say, I take that back. Like, not really. No.
So. Okay, good. So here's the reason that I bring this up. There is no definitive right or wrong answer, but I feel very strongly that this should be in the same original thread as your other messages. The reason being that if they were good messages and you didn't do anything cringeworthy, you actually want to remind them that you had tried this about 6 months ago. The reason being that if you said something in the messages that they actually really liked, if you provided them good value, what I'm trying to do is remind them that you wanted to start a good interaction. So the response that I'm hoping to elicit is, oh my God, I can't believe I never responded. These messages were so nice. The least I could have done is reply to you. If your messages sucked, yes, start a brand new fresh thread. So a lot of times, if I've had students that have come to me and they've said, I sent a series of messages, I couldn't get a reply from this person. It's been over a year, I want to start over. And I see their messages, I'm like, nobody should ever read those ever again. We're going to start a fresh thread. But if you feel you did a solid job with your outreach, what I want is I want that thread underneath the one that you're sending of the reminder of, oh, I remember reading this message. Mark seemed like a really nice guy and the timing was horrible. So if you feel you did a good job with your previous outreach and this most likely is because she was a parent, I would send this in the same thread. What I would do is I would change your subject line. Most people, for some reason, believe that that's not allowed, like it's illegal or something. Well, you can change the subject line mid-thread? Of course you can. It's actually, if we had been taught the etiquette of email when email first started, rather than it just kind of becoming a thing, if there were actual rules, I think it would have become a rule that you keep the same general conversation in the same thread, but the subject line should evolve with the needs of that thread. That's a much more efficient way to communicate.
I didn't know you could do that.
That's like, what I mean. Most people are like, wait, you can do that? That's allowed? Like, technically, yes, you can do it. And not only can you do it, you should do it if the subject of the conversation changes, but it's the same general thread. This is especially helpful with workflows. Not that you should ever in a million years be emailing Excel sheets back and forth, but people still email Excel sheets back and forth. They haven't heard of this thing called Google Sheets.
Mm.
But let's say that this is a really bad example, and I don't want to go into this too deep, but I really want to hit home the importance of keeping things in a similar thread, but changing the subject line. Let's say that you're literally dealing with visual effects workflows and turnovers via Excel sheets in an email. If it's just visual effects for episode 4, and that's your thread for 4 months, that's useless. But if you were to change your subject line, which is looking for final approval on the following shots versus I've added 50 shots, whatever it might be, technically that's a more efficient way to be able to work in a single email thread. Nobody should ever in a million years be managing visual effects via email threads and Excel sheets, but I still see it being done this way. The point being, that I really want her, assuming that you feel confident about your previous messages, I want her to be reminded of your previous messages. But I want the subject line to be updated so it feels fresh. So all of that is preamble to be able to look at this message through that lens. This has landed into Alyssa's inbox. It has a new fresh subject line, but we know that the previous thread is going to be below it. So it will remind her of the conversation that you had originally. So having said all of that, now read it out loud.
All right. All right. So, well, I'll read this out loud. Your journey with 30 Rock, your journey from 30 Rock to Kevin Tent is inspiring is the subject line, which honestly I might change based on what you just said, but we'll look past that. Nope, we'll just get right into the meat and potatoes of this. Hey, Alyssa, we met earlier this year after the Holdovers LAC Pug panel. I hope you and your family are well. Since we met, I had a chance to see your journey from MSNBC, assistant editing on a Duplass Brothers production pilot, to eventually working with Kevin Tent. It's clear you knew how to do things quickly and correctly in a collaborative way for the post team. For both fiction and nonfiction have their own language to them, and your skills translate that language into a short time. You've made both essential journalism and an Oscar-winning holiday classic. Joining this intimidating industry can be done with excellent work in both worlds. I'm making a similar transition into scripted television and film. For the last 10 years, I've worked as a television and YouTube editor. My last credit is The Young Turks, an online news channel. I want to edit fun, impactful stories about characters going through redemption. I think that journey begins with me becoming an apprentice editor for scripted narrative, but I'm not 100% sure it's my only path. I know Premiere and I'm learning Avid through online courses recommended by the Editing Guild, such as Master the Workflow. I'm confident in my technical skill. However, I don't know what path is best for me based on my background. Given that you have a career in both fiction and nonfiction, would you mind if I asked a question or two about specific challenges in translating from scripted to unscripted as an apprentice editor? Thank you for your time, Mark Carr.
All right. How do you feel about that message?
I don't think there's enough personality to it. And I tried to aim this to be a little bit shorter, knowing, okay, she's a parent, like she's getting 5 hours of sleep. She is completely focused on that. It's a little bit of a word salad in the beginning. My biggest problem with this is that it's honestly just regurgitating the first message I sent her. Like, it's just kind of rewording all of that. And I'm like, yeah, but I already kind of gave her that value. And I'm just like trying to think of new things to say. So
now do you see why I had that long preamble about the context of this message being in the same thread?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why this is so important. What I want you to do is I want you to refresh the existing conversation, not regurgitate the same one in a new thread. Because okay, if you were to do that, she might be thinking, you already said all of this to me 6 months ago, as opposed to you're recognizing the fact that we started this conversation. I understand that, you know, the fact that you were a new parent, you're probably lucky to get 3 hours of sleep a night, but I thought maybe I'd give this a try now that it's been, you know, been a few months. Right. So because this is warm outreach, it's the VSA formula. But as I always say with warm outreach, there's a silent C. And it's too bad it has to be silent, but I can't either use the VSAC or the CVSA formula. They throw away the alliteration of VSA. But what you need is that fourth layer, which is context. Right now, the only context this has is we met earlier at this panel. So this feels essentially like cold outreach we met briefly at a panel. Now let's start a conversation. I want the approach to be, I met you at the panel, just as a reminder. We started this previous conversation. I realized the timing was probably awful. Thought I'd check in now that maybe things have calmed down a bit, which PS they probably haven't, and they're not going to calm down for 5 years. Alyssa, I apologize, but that's going to be your life for the next 5 years.
That sounds right.
Right. But at least then you're trying to meet them where they are, and you're taking the pressure off. It's not like, hey, it's been 6 months. Where's my response? It's, I figured, you know, things were probably crazy while you were having a kid. You're probably still dealing with sleep deprivation. Just thought I'd give this another try now that maybe things have calmed down. Right. So I want to start with that subtle layer of context. Mm-hmm. Then what I want to do is I still want to provide value, but here's the key with warm outreach when there's a long span of time. What I don't want to do, unless we have to, what I don't want to do is reiterate the same value over again. I want to reiterate new value that's come along in the last 6 months. Is there anything new? Like, let me give you an example. This probably doesn't apply to Alyssa, but you went to the panel for the Holdovers and you met her there, but now it's been 6 months and she was an assistant editor on another project that just came out. You start the thread with, we originally met at this panel. Since reaching out, I've now watched this thing and I've got a whole bunch of new value that I didn't even have a chance to share with you 6 months ago. So what I never want to do is just keep regurgitating the same conversation. You always have to do your homework. So if there's a way to provide more value, I want to provide more. But if she's been off for 6 months and she hasn't worked since the holdovers, you might not be able to. But I at least want to start there. Is there new value I can provide this person?
Unfortunately, just as you said, she's been very, very focused on her family, and she's like, her IMDb page has not been updated at all. I haven't seen anything in terms of social media. Like, I see that she has a Facebook profile. I don't have the courage to add friend yet, but mm-hmm. But honestly, yeah, it just seems like she's like super focused on being a parent.
So. Yeah. Okay. And that's fine. What this shows me is that you've done your due diligence, which is there anything new that I can focus on? Most people don't do that. But if there's a way to provide new value, I always want to provide new value. And I do this with people that I've had a relationship with for a decade. If I'm essentially the number one name on somebody's sheet when they're looking for an editor and I haven't talked to them for a few years, I still don't take that for granted. If I reach out to them, I still bring up new value. Hey, I watched the newest show that just came out that you worked on, this or that, or I read this thing in the trades. I will always refresh the value. That is a huge component for me that demonstrates that I'm still paying attention to them and I still care about what they're doing.
That actually kind of leads into a good point. Like this line right here, I found that through an interview that they did through Cinemontage, which is the union's magazine. That goes into a little bit more detail about what she did at her time at MSNBC. Like she did work at 30 Rock. Like that's the idea behind the subject line. She actually did work in that building. So,
and this was all, these are all things that have come out since the panel.
That's been there since before the panel. So,
did you mention this in your previous threads?
I don't believe I did. In fact, let me look. I didn't go into specifics of it. No.
Okay. So all that matters is that it's new to you. Let me give you another example. Let's say that we're going to reach out to an author. I do a lot of outreach to authors because I like to have them on the podcast. So let's say that I reached out to somebody about their brand new book, right? Here's this mm-hmm. brand new book about productivity and I didn't get a response. I'll give it a few months. Then I reach out to them again. There doesn't have to be a new book. It could be, since reaching out to you 6 months ago, I finally discovered your book from 10 years ago. How did I not know that this existed? It's a masterpiece. This is what we need to talk about. That strategy has gotten me more than one podcast guest because they say, I've done 50 podcasts talking about my new book. I'm tired of talking about my new book. Nobody asks me about my first book. It's still my favorite thing I've ever written. I would love to talk about my first book. So that's an example of how it doesn't have to be new, just new to you.
Yeah.
So if you discovering the Cinemontage article is new to you, that's what this value can be about. Because when you said, it's clear you knew how to do things quickly and correctly in a collaborative way with the post team, I'm thinking, what? How the hell do you know that? But if you said, since reaching out, I discovered this article in Cinemontage, what that demonstrates is you're still doing your homework and you're still interested in Alyssa. That's what's going to get you a response because it shows that you're still doing the work. Right. So I think that you can just rephrase this to make it clear. We just as a quick reminder, we met at this panel. When I originally reached out, I have now since realized it was right after you had your kid. So I didn't want to belabor the point. But now that it's been a few months, maybe things have calmed down. In the meantime, I discovered this article and I learned all these new things about your workflow. And now I'm even more inspired to join this world, despite it being an intimidating industry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's where I want you to refresh and really focus on context. When it comes to your story, I don't think this has to be that much different. What I want to avoid is just literally copy pasting from your previous messages. But what I don't want is to say, to learn more about me, go to my previous threads where I already said these things. Don't make them do the work.
Yeah, no.
But I also don't want it to just be copy paste. So it's kind of a reminder. You know, as I had mentioned when I reached out originally, here's where I am now. Here's where I'm going next. Here's what's stopping me.
I think that's the right way to do it. Just as a refresher, mm-hmm. worked as a television and YouTube news editor, looking to go into scripted narrative. That's it.
Exactly.
Super quick. So
I think that you can just do a brief reiteration or summarization and probably keep most of what you have in your story. The story is actually pretty clear and pretty succinct. Right. So now let's talk about your question. Based on everything we talked about, do you think anything needs to change with your ask?
That's a good question. Let me think. Honestly, no. I'm still reaching out to her because I'm interested in what skills she developed and how she developed those to be able to translate into scripted narrative. My thought is no. Like, that question is still the core that has been unanswered. So
were you around when I did my my previous hot seat with Sadiqa?
Yes.
Okay. So do you remember what I said the two most important components were of your ask that are not only going to get a response, but an enthusiastic response, and also most likely get them to invite you to a call?
Something that is very, very specific to them. Like, they are the expert on this thing. It's not like asking what's a good editing program. You could just Google that or anybody can answer it for you. My ask has to be something specific to them where nobody else but them can answer, or very, very few people can.
Right. So if you want to get not only a response, but a useful response, it needs to be clear how they can help you. Mm-hmm. If you want to get an enthusiastic, there's nobody else on the planet, it needs to be clear they're the only one that can help you. Right. I think I'm going to name this the Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope strategy. Right. So read through your question again, read through your ask again, and let's see if it hits both of those components. Both, Alyssa knows how to help you, but she's the only person that can help you.
I actually have the question in my reply, if you want me to read that.
No, she hasn't replied yet. So I want to really focus on this initial message. Go ahead and read your ask in this initial message.
Given that you have a career in both fiction and nonfiction, would you mind if I asked a question or two about specific challenges in transitioning from unscripted to scripted as an apprentice editor?
Your ask is missing one word that's going to completely change the response. Do you know what it is? Anybody want to help Mark here? You need to add one word to your message. I'm going to tell you where it is. You need to put a word in between these two words. This completely changes the response.
Your specific challenges?
Can I ask a question or two about your specific challenges in transitioning from unscripted to scripted? If it's, can I ask you about challenges in transitioning? Well, it's really hard. The workflows are different. People are going to give you a shot, yada, yada, yada. And you're going to be like, thank you, Captain Obvious. She's going to give you generic advice. If it's your specific challenges, now she gets to talk about her story. Here's what I struggled with in making this transition. Now, not only does Alyssa know how she can help you, she feels she's the only one that can help you. So your ask is almost perfect. But if you want to make your ask twice as good, you need four letters. Y-O-U-R. Done.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Completely changes the game.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Because again, it's like, I mean, I could, in theory, like really search for somebody who also worked in news who transitioned, but I mean, it's like they probably went through a completely different journey than she did. So,
And this is where, if I were to characterize this, the question that you're going to send to everybody that's been on this journey is, what are the challenges in transitioning from unscripted to scripted as an apprentice editor? There are a lot of people that can answer that question. Mm-hmm. Most of them, I guarantee, are unqualified to be giving advice because, as I keep saying, most people suck at giving advice. There's an art and there's a lot of practice and a lot of education required to actually be able to give people good advice. And by and large, the most important thing for giving people advice is making it clear that there are a lot of options and there's not one thing that you need to do. I guarantee advice sucks if it's you need to do this. Short of, you don't want to burn your hand. What you need to do is not touch the stove. That's good advice. You probably should follow that. But by and large, when somebody says, well, what you need to do is step back to be an assistant editor. What you need to do is learn this program. Like, that's because that was their path and that's all they know. Mm-hmm. So if it's, what are the specific challenges in doing this thing? A lot of people can answer it. But now if it's your specific challenges, I'm the only one that can answer that. And that gives me the ability to share with somebody else what I've been through. And if sharing what I've been through inspires somebody else to overcome the same obstacles, I feel useful in life. I'd be more than willing to jump on Zoom for 30 minutes to share my story with you if I'm clear that it's going to help you, because I was in the same position at one point in my life. That's what we're trying to tap into.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So given your success with this in the past and your ability to take some of the tactics that I've shared with you on these past hot seats, I have no doubt that the next draft of this will be perfect and you will get a response. So how do you feel about your clarity on what you need to do to this to get a response from Alyssa?
A lot better. I was kind of banging my head against the wall. It's like, okay, it's been 6 months. This is the formula. This makes sense. But I'm like, new value. It almost feels like copy pasting. I know it's not copy pasting. It's very, very close. It's in the same ballpark. So.
And that's when you've gotten really good at this. When from your perspective, it almost feels too easy and it's copy paste from, but from their perspective, they're thinking this is such a nice personal message, right? That's when you can really start to read the matrix of outreach. Most of my outreach at this point, just sending it out. Cause to me, I know the formula and I know exactly how to take the things that can be similar in all the messages, but then the responses are, oh, it's so nice that you reached out and said these things because where I put my effort is in the value. Sometimes it takes me months to write a value paragraph, not to write the actual words, but to do the work so that what I'm saying in the value paragraph is true. Like, I watched your entire series. That could take me 2 months, right? But yeah, by and large, once you start to do this, it gets easier and you almost start to feel guilty. You're like, this is almost too easy.
Yeah, there's like another person I want to reach out to who worked as a Lyft driver and they went on to work for Deadpool and Wolverine as an assistant. So
wow, that sounds like a podcast conversation right there.
Honestly, it's like that is just so ridiculously perfect for what I need right now. Like it almost feels like a trap. So, but it's like the value is probably the hardest part of outreach, I think. Like it, based on my experience.
It should be, by the way, it should be the hardest part. And that's why I know nobody does it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to get you to stand out from the 99% of garbage that's in people's inboxes is you do the hard work to provide the real value.
Yeah.
That's what everybody skips.
So before you go, since my subject line should be different. So the formula for those who don't know is like the subject line should grab attention and it should essentially be a summary of what you're trying to give of the whole email. Like,
I would not characterize it as grab attention because there are a lot of ways you can grab attention in a subject line that are awful.
Fair.
Like, see every spam message ever sent. So No, your subject line is not about grabbing attention. Your subject line is about providing value. And usually that value is a brief teaser of the value to come.
Mm.
I don't think your subject line is bad. Do I think it could be tweaked and improved? I'm sure it could be, but your subject line is not bad. It's not like a select all, delete, start over. Right. So then just to read it again, since I'm not not screen sharing. So your journey from 30 Rock to Kevin Tent is inspiring. You can't send that to anybody else. That's a subject line that can only go to Alyssa. So It's good. Could it be tweaked? Could we workshop 10 different subject lines that might have a better conversion rate? Sure. I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time overthinking it because it's fine.
Yeah. All right. That's fair.
What I would put in there is in parentheses, we met at Lassie Pub. I would have some context of a reminder that we've actually met before because that increases the feeling of reciprocity that I should probably respond to this person.
Okay. Sounds good.
You're giving me a quizzical look. Give it a try and see what you think.
I remember the last time we talked about it is like the idea of confidence and I don't know. My first thought is like, ooh, is that going to sound a little weird and like unconfident, if that makes any sense?
Well, like, let me leave it at this. I don't want you to send anything that you lack confidence in that doesn't feel authentically like you and your voice.
Mm.
But I find by and large that you're going to get more responses to warm outreach when it's, and this is very lukewarm, tepid. This is not cold, but what I'm working on is the assumption there's a 50-50 chance that Alyssa does not remember who you are and doesn't recognize your name. So what I'm trying to do is drop a very simple reminder. We've actually met in person before.
Yeah, that makes, Yeah.
If you said, if you sent this to me and said, Cobra Kai blew me away, we met at Edit Fest last year, I'm going to respond. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. Right now, I'm not going to respond. I probably have a couple hundred people right now that are thinking one of two things. Either Zach is such an asshole and he doesn't respond to outreach, even though he teaches it, or, oh my God, I must have said the worst things ever and I offended Zach and I can't believe he didn't respond. But I have so much outreach, and frankly, I have messages sitting in Slack from students, haven't gotten any of it because my life is a shit show. Of literally at this point, if something's not on fire, I just don't pay attention to it. Because outside of it being literal, my entire personal life is on fire right now. Like just trying to find another home and dealing with all kinds of other stuff with my parents. So anything that's not absolutely essential and very urgent in outreach is just sitting there. Right. So in this case, if Alyssa just had a kid, she was probably in the same mindset.
Yeah. It's like that.
My guess is this has nothing to do with you.
That's honestly what I took away from it. It's like I could write something that could be in the Smithsonian in 100 years and it wouldn't matter. She's like, her child is her life right now, and it should be. So,
yeah. And I agree with that. And by the way, I'm going to steal that. That's brilliant. My email could be so good. It's in the Smithsonian. That was great characterization. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I really don't think this is about you at all. You're doing a really, really good job with outreach. I think the timing sucked. And I think that you have a really good opportunity to rekindle this conversation. I don't know Alyssa at all. But I know Kevin Tent, and I know the kind of people he surrounds himself with. My guess is Alyssa's a really cool person. Like, Kevin's a great guy. So he probably hires really great people like him. My guess is this is all about being a parent, and this fell through the cracks.
Totally. Yeah. Honestly, I'm walking away feeling a lot more confident. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I like that idea. Yeah. I'm feeling much more confident in it.
Cool. I'm either looking forward to seeing your updated version on the next hot seat or seeing a message in the Winds channel that said, holy crap, she responded. One of the two. So either is acceptable.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Great work as always. Thanks for coming back, Mark. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for investing both your time and energy listening to today's show. If you were inspired by this conversation, don't forget to subscribe in your podcast app of choice, and most importantly, leave a review, because that helps move the show to the top of iTunes and get our message out there to those who need it the most. Simply visit optimizeyourself.me/subscribe to never miss another episode. Lastly, stay safe, healthy, sane, and most importantly, be well.